We all know Kit Kat bars taste delicious, but what about how they sound? It's not just a catchy jingle. It's the satisfying crack of breaking off a piece of Kit Kat, followed by a crisp crunch. Oh, we forgot one other sound that accompanies Kit Kat bars, too. It's... or maybe it's more like... Altogether, Kit Kat bars are music to our ears and yummy flavors to our mouths. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendships, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, Sarah J. Maas fans, because today we are talking about the final book in the Throne of Glass series, Kingdom of Ash. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss Melinda. Welcome back, friend.
Hello, friend. How are you?
I am good. I am so good. And this has been such a beautiful journey, and I feel really fortunate to have been on it with you.
It has. It's been a great time.
Just the healthiest outlet for the past, 8 months? And you have made this so much fun and so memorable. And I'm so excited to chat all things Kingdom of Ash with you today.
I'm so excited. And I'm so glad I have a friend like you who is able to jump into the fandom with me. I haven't even been able to do any of my public library summer reading because I've been enjoying our little book club so much. And I don't want it to end, but here we are, Kingdom of Ash. Look at us. Who would have thought?
Not me. Mm-mm. So that being said, what were your initial thoughts on Kingdom of Ash?
Oh, I felt like this book had everything. It has romance, action, comedy, suspense, horror, mystery. Like, it didn't have that first 100-page curse or reputation that it's known for. It started with one foot on the ground and it kept running. But overall, it was fantastic. I love Rowan and Aelin's relationship with one another. While I love Dorian and Manon, their relationship was a little rough. And I love the chemistry that Aelin has with her court and the relationship that they have with each other. I don't think I've read any book series recently as fast as I have read Throne of Glass and ACOTAR. What are your thoughts?
I don't know, maybe unpopular opinion here, so hear me out. But I didn't have the traditional Sarah J. Maas hangover like I did with ACOTAR or Crescent City. I had some really interesting dreams. To preface this, I finished reading Kingdom of Ash a couple hours before I watched the series 2 premiere of House of the Dragon. So needless to say, my dreams were on fire that night. No pun in, or you know what? Whatever. Pun intended. But I just remember falling asleep and seeing King's Landing and then hearing the word Peranth constantly throughout this whole dream. And as if Aneith was on my shoulder. Okay. And I was like, where am I supposed to look? And don't get me wrong, you and I have told each other countless times that whoever directs Game of Thrones has to be in charge of the Throne of Glass series. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If it is not Game of Thrones-esque, you guys are dropping the ball. My subconscious has already made up my mind, let alone, you know, dreamscape of what I was supposed to be looking at that evening. But I feel like Empire of Storms was definitely my favorite out of the series. And don't get me wrong, loved Kingdom of Ash. It had a lot of great moments. But Empire of Storms set up Kingdom of Ash so beautifully that I just have a very big soft spot for it. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some tea. You ready for some tea?
Let's spill it.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have not read the final installment of the Throne of Glass series, Kingdom of Ash, we are going to spoil it for you. What part of this book kept you up late at night?
It was everything that led up to chapter 26.
Okay.
Chapter 26, that was when I started writing like more than the usual notes and highlighting the parts. And it's when Fenris breaks the bond between him and Maeve. Cairn yelling at him to lie down, you know, but Fenris breaks the bond, knowing it would break his soul and his body, and he was able to snap it. And there's that moment where Aelin is trapped in the coffin, essentially the iron box, and looks over and sees the spirit of her mom. Right. And her mom goes, "You do not yield." And she nearly broke out of that iron box. But just everything leading up to the gang, like Rowan and Lorcan and Gabrielle and Aleed finding Aelin. It's so emotional. But what was yours?
So it was chapter 20 through 30. And it was that I couldn't sleep without knowing where Aelin was. And I remember like texting you and being like, okay, don't tell me if I'm right. Just tell me if I'm getting warmer in terms of like where Maeve is keeping her. But I was like, oh, it's 9:30 at night. I should be in bed. But I don't know where Aelin is. And because of that, I stayed up till like 11:30 that night, just very determined to at least know. I'm like, okay, I know she's okay. She's with Rowan. We're good. I can go to sleep now. But it was chapter 20 through 30 where I finally got the answers I needed. So what storylines do you want to see play out on screen?
I really want to see the scene where Lorcan, Aleed, Gabrielle, Fenris, Aelin, and Rowan are traveling through the caves on like this rowboat that's being towed by one of the little folk creatures. And they're all asleep except for Rowan. And Rowan wakes Aelin up, which in turn wakes everyone else up to see the glowworms. And the glowworms' light's being reflected in the water.
Right.
So they're just in this cavern of stars. It reminded me of the scene from Ferngully.
Yes.
Okay. Where they're running through the cave and then the worms are reflecting off the light.
Now we know the inspiration behind that chapter. That exactly. has to be it.
But anyway, the second one I want to see, it's obviously the whole storyline of Manon becoming queen. But in particular, I want to see when the witches answer Manon's call to war. It sounds so amazing. This is from the book. Trunks hidden in attics were thrown open. Folded swaths of red cloth pulled from within. Brooms left in closets beside doorways, tucked under beds, were brought out, bound in gold or silver or twine. I mean, these witches, they just grabbed their cloaks and their brooms and they left. And you could see the neighbors whispering, "Witches are among us." I need to see this. The third scene that I would love to see, this is when Manon, the 13, and the witches arrive at Orinth. Aiden recognizes her and commands everyone to hold fire. Manon and the 13 land in front of Aiden and Lysandra on the wall. And of course, there's Darrow, who is completely out of the loop. He like spits at Manon and says, "We will not surrender." And her response is, "We've come to ensure you that you don't,
yeah.
mortal." And she goes on and says that they're there to honor a friend and that they came to honor a promise made to Aelin to fight for what she promised. If we can just have Howard Shore do the music for that scene, my nerdy heart will be happy. What were yours?
I'm right there with you with the cave scene with the little folk, but it's when they give Aelin Mab's crown. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. I'm not crying. You are. Okay. And then when Manon won the Crocken Crown, but it's after she kills the Yellowlegs heir and she places it on, I was like, and it's just glowing and you see all the stars. And I was like, oh, I need to see this. I need it. I need it now. Then I'll chat about this later, but we get to see the Lord of the North enter the chat. The stag himself shows up and was like, come hither, follow me. And I don't know if he's actually talking or can she talk to animals? I don't know, but the Lord of the North commands their presence and he finally shows up. He's more than just someone that they pray to. I am looking forward to seeing that play out on screen for sure. But the scene that I am looking forward to the absolute most is Aelin falling through all the Sarah J. Maas multiverses and we get a Rhysand cameo. And I think that's just going to be the most beautiful thing because we only know about the Crescent City multiverse, the ACOTAR multiverse, and the Throne of Glass multiverse. But she was passing through way more than that. And I was like, oh my gosh, we got a tiny glimpse of how a possible crossover can happen with all three of these current multiverses, and I'm so excited, and it's going to be so pretty when it plays out on screen. I know I got a little emotional during this book, and that is a massive understatement. So what caught you in the feels?
Oh my word, I cried like every other chapter, or if that, like every chapter. But the storyline where I was just bawling my eyes out, and I've already mentioned it, but it's when Rowan finds Aelin on the campground after she escapes Maeve. And she hears his hawk cry and breaks down, and it breaks Lorcan's heart. And that whole scene of trying to get that mask off and her relationship with Fenris just throughout the whole entire book, I started crying because they're both trying to heal. They've both been through a very traumatic event and they both helped each other live. And it was the scene where she went over to his broken body and said, live. And she gave him the blood oath. Which storyline caught you in your feels? Because my heart's with Fenris right now.
I mean, I'm just going to tip my hat to the 13. Manon's 13 went out so epically. I want to visit Terrasen just to pay my last respects. I could not control my tears when I saw what they were doing. I was like, no. Oh my God. Why? But Manon. All right. What was the biggest plot twist for you in Kingdom of Ash?
I have a couple. So it's Dorian. This guy, I love him, but he left Manon to go to Morath to find the third word stone and went snooping around and found himself getting caught by Maeve. Maeve didn't kill him. She spared him. And in doing so, they formed this alliance. And like you said, you knew this was a ruse, but I was like, Dorian, how are you going to get out of this? He offers marriage to Maeve and they work against Arwen at Morath, and she ends up telling Dorian everything about her world, why she left, who Arwen, Oricus, and Mantix truly are. And he's doing all of this as a farce and ends up flattening Morath and left Maeve to deal with Arwen. He does eventually find Aelin on the road, but here he is. He's able to master fire. He masters ice. He works with shadows. He can shapeshift. He's a jack of all trades.
He really is.
And my second plot twist correlates to your most emotional moment, and that's when the 13 sacrifice themselves. But the twist is when, I believe it is Glennis, who repeats the prophecy back to Manon because they notice a flower is blooming in the battlefield at Orinth. Right. And so the prophecy is blood to blood and soul to soul. Together this was done, and only together it can be undone. Be the bridge, be the light. When iron melts, when flowers spring from fields of blood, let the land be witness and return home.
Poetry.
Poetry.
Come on. All the snaps.
Manon had to lose everything, basically, so that her people could go home. And my third plot twist, again, when Aelin is falling through the multiverse, basically, and, you know, Rhysand makes an appearance to try to help slow her down, she does find her way back home. And you find out that Rowan tattooed word mark symbols on her back.
Chills, man.
To be a compass for her, to help find her way home. Honestly, I thought Kingdom of Ash was going to end with Aelin finding herself in Prithian with the Night Court and being lost to Terrasen and having her court try to find a way to get her back and figure out where she went to. So as much to my surprise, when she found herself back in Terrasen in her own world and was reunited with her court.
Right.
What are yours?
The first one was Aelin losing the bulk of her power when she forced the lock. I was not expecting that at all. And I was like, yeah, but it's going to come back. Guys, like, come on. It's Aelin. Sarah doesn't write weak characters. She's going to find a way to get it back. And then it didn't come back by the time the end of the story happened. And I was like, but it's going to come back, right? Come on. I'm still holding out hope that she'll regain her full power. The second one was Aelin sending their, 12 to 13 gods to their own indefinite purgatory. The second they took out Elena, was it Deanna took out Elena? She was like, gloves off. I owe you guys absolutely nothing. I tried to reason with you. F this noise. And was it Mala, the god that she descends from, was like, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of power. Do what you will with it. I've lived a life. I don't care anymore. And Aelin throws them into their own hell and locks them up with no way to get out. And I was like, man, remind me never to get on this one's bad side. Next plot twist. Dorian's dad showing up in the end to donate his ghostly powers to make the lock. It was giving Danica and Bryce energy when Bryce took the dive to become immortal. And then I think the last plot twist I have is I think Dorian is the universal Kerenam. Like, the second he starts sharing his power with everyone, problems are solved. Oh, you need a lock? Let's hold hands, okay? Let's share my source of power. He did it multiple times throughout the series. Like, he did it with Aelin when he took out his dad at the beginning in the Glass Castle. He did it when he forged the lock, and there was another moment at the end with Irene. You mentioned he's a jack of all trades, but this is it. Which makes me wonder if he's also part Fae and nobody's told him. I'm still developing this conspiracy theory, folks, but that was the plot twist that I wasn't expecting. Top thoughts on the ending.
I do not understand why Gabriel had to die during Battle of Orinth. Him and Aelin finally meet together. They have an understanding with one another. He then orders Aelin to close the gate and then leaves. I am still very much confused as to why it even had happened. And that leaves me wondering, she made the scene of Aelin giving Gabrielle the blood oath after he passed away. Is that going to do anything, or was that just symbolism?
Right.
Because you don't know with Mass. Like, it could be something happening in the next book that we're all going to be Easter egging for, or it is what it is. But another thought I had, I was hoping he was going to reunite with Manon.
Oh, yeah. Same.
And have a sit-down conversation about everything that happened, because Manon originally offers him marriage, gives him this partnership, and he cares for her so much that he declines. Like, first he's like, he makes it seem like he accepts, but then he leaves the next morning, and we learn that he knows that marriage will just basically lock her down and she'll hate it. But I'm over here like, Dorian, do you think watching you be married to someone else will make her happier? At least with the marriage, she can go off and do her own thing. But with someone else being married to Dorian, that's not going to be fun.
No, and they did at the end leave it as an open discussion, give or take. So that's hopefully something to look forward to in a possible future Throne of Glass book. But
what are your thoughts on the ending?
Probably an unpopular opinion here, so sorry in advance. But I thought the ending dragged. I think I found a plot hole, but I'll get to that later. But I was just like, okay, are we killing Erewhon or not? Can we just... Oh, and another army shows up. And then another army. And then another army. And 10 days later, we are still fighting this war. Okay, guys, come on. Can we get through this? Please and thank you. But I'm right there with you. Gabriel did not have to die at all. I don't understand the logic behind that one whatsoever. But I am happy that everyone had a happy ending. Top three things you want to see in the next Throne of Glass book. We do feel that there is another one in the works somewhere, somehow.
What I would love to see. This is the answer that I want, okay? Where is the Fey female healer that Maeve had with her? This is the one who is able to change into an owl. Maeve says herself that she usually keeps a Fey female with her. One who has powers that work against the Valg. And this particular Fey has different powers from those that Aelin has. And swore the blood oath to Maeve, I'm using quotation marks, long ago.
So you're thinking it's Silba?
Is it Silba? I have no idea. Like, this owl has hardly left her side. She wasn't brought to Morath because having her there wouldn't have convinced Erwin that Maeve came in good faith. This is all taken from the book. But where is she? What happened to her? What happens to those who swear the blood oath and the person that they swore to dies? My second thing that I would love to see, Dorian finds out he can also push the Valg away in people. I would love to see Dorian train with Irene to become a healer. I would love to see that. Another thing I would love to see, again, Dorian. I'm a broken record. I would love to see him and Manon work on their relationship. But mostly, I would love to see them train the new Aerial Legion, which is the small group of Rukan riders that remains in Arilyn, to train the Wyvern Hatchlings. Okay. I would really love to see that. It's giving me How to Train Your Dragon moments. That would be a lot of fun to see. But what about you?
I need an ACOTAR Crescent City crossover with Aelin. I need all of these worlds to just sit down and chat. I just want them to have a meeting of the minds, because when Bryce entered the chat with Nesta and their first go around, it went sideways so fast. We cannot have that again. Absolutely not. No, ma'am. And Rhysand lending that, I don't know, helpful breeze to Aelin so she didn't die. That was great. Really appreciate that. I need a game plan. I need everybody to sing Kumbaya. That's what I need at the end of the day. I also want to see the next generation of Throne of Glass characters. So I need Aelin and Rowan's kids to exist. Same with Aiden and Lysandra. And I want to see them play with Nyx. And I want, again, next generation growing up Kumbaya moment. That is my happy ending. But I really need to know that Aelin gets her full power back. I have not accepted that she's hit her limit. And I'm like, okay, if Bryce can swallow a star and Nesta can wake an army of the dead, I need to know how Aelin gets her full flame back, okay? Because I know it's possible. Whether she goes to a mountain or she goes to Romiel and claims a flame back, goes to the cauldron and demands it. I don't care. We're going to make this happen, okay? That's what I'm hoping for. It's honorable mention time. Who are we giving awesome shout outs to?
I love the moment. I mean, I love anything with Fenris, let's be real, but the moment when Aelin asks Fenris for his family name,
that's so good.
And she's like, you know, I don't actually know what it is. And he grins at her and he gives her a wink and he tells her it's Moonbeam. Of course, her response is, it is not. And he's like, I am blood sworn to you. Would I lie? But the other honorable mention I have, it's the scene where Manon and the 13 fight off both the Yellow Legs and the Iron Teeth in the camp with the Krokans. Glennis looses an arrow. Dorian sends ice right after it. Both the arrow and the ice take down a wyvern, and Glennis grins to Dorian and says, I struck first. Before she draws a second arrow, and Dorian's response is, man, I wish you were my great-grandmother. And I'm like, well, sir,
play your cards right, my dude.
This can happen. Anyway, the third honorable mention is when Irene starts to heal Erwin. And I say heals as in, like, draws the parasite back. And here's the parallel. When she does this to Erwin, it is said that the world slowed and warped. The same thing happens when Bryce and Nesta kill the Asteri. So Bryce sends all the Asterians to the black hole, and time keeps slowing down and warping and then going back to normal, then slowing down and warping. Same thing with Nesta. And it makes me wonder if Valg and the Asteri are related somehow, because they're both considered as parasites and they're beings who are able to walk between worlds. I wonder if they're related somehow. But that just ties into your, we need a crossover now, please, and thank you. Yeah. I am curious what yours are.
So I kind of loved how the lock that Aelin and Dorian forged together was a replica of the Eye of Elaena. I thought that was so poetic. And then, okay, I'm calling this one out, but I think I found a plot hole that would have made the ending way more efficient time-wise, okay? So Kael brought over books from the Southern Continent that were written in only word keys. He could not translate any of them. He brings them over to Aelin to defeat the Valg, and one of which was how to open portals. So we know Maeve can open portals as a Valg queen. Bryce can open portals, and she's Starborn. But they were like 10 days behind, and Aelin didn't open one portal, and she discovered the spell to open portals. And I was like, oh, they're just going to jump through time and space. Like, that's what's going to happen. She did not open one portal. WTF, Miss Moss, I need answers. Or is that going to be something that Aelin learns how to do in the next book? I felt like that was a missed opportunity, but also the Lord of the North wouldn't have shown up. The Throne of Glass series has been such a fun ride. And to celebrate covering the entire Sarah J. Maas verse on our podcast, we're celebrating this beautiful milestone with our first ever Maasmas in July giveaway. We're giving out 16 different Maasverse prize packs throughout the whole month of July. So be sure to check our Instagram for trivia and ways to get extra entries into our drawings. And now it is time for the Spotlight of the Week.
Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast.
We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Sarah J. Maas, Bloomsbury Publishing, or any other media mentioned today, or just massive fans.
Massive.
We all know Kit Kat bars taste delicious, but what about how they sound? It's not just a catchy jingle. It's the satisfying crack of breaking off a piece of Kit Kat, followed by a crisp crunch. Oh, we forgot one other sound that accompanies Kit Kat bars, too. It's, or maybe it's more like, altogether, Kit Kat bars are music to our ears and yummy flavors to our mouths. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.